Have you ever watched a craftsman working hard at his craft? Maybe you've watched a construction crew or a carpenter. This past week, I watched a plumber install our new water heater. It's interesting to watch people put things together. I think you can learn a lot about people by watching them as they do their craft. Are they clever? Are they handy with something? Are they hardworking? What's this particular craftsman like? In the book of Proverbs, the Son of God describes himself as a craftsman. It's true that at one time in his life, Jesus was in fact a carpenter. But in these verses, we hear about him doing far more advanced crafts. Today we're going to look at two very important elements of what the Son of God has crafted. First of all, the world, and second of all, our salvation. And our goal today is to just sit and watch Christ, the master craftsman. And as we do, I hope we learn a few things about him. And I hope that we grow in our relationship with him, that the Holy Spirit may work within you and work within me as we grow in our faith today. Now, you wouldn't necessarily look to find the second person of the Trinity in the book of Proverbs. Most of the time, we look to find him in the Gospels, as we heard in John chapter 8 today. But here he is in Proverbs chapter 8. The chapter begins talking about wisdom. Wisdom, in this case, the beginning of the chapter, personified as a woman. A woman who takes her stand, in the city gates, speaks to mankind. This is Solomon writing the book of Proverbs. So he picks a woman so that his sons listen to him. A woman who is very different from the loose woman of chapter 7, by the way. A loose worldly woman. But then in verse 22 of our text today, as wisdom speaks, wisdom begins to sound like Jesus. And by the time the chapter is over, as we heard, you know for sure that this is Christ who is talking. And that's not just a coincidence. The Bible tells us that wisdom isn't just a concept. Wisdom is actually a person. Christ is wisdom, and wisdom is Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says, "We preach Christ crucified, the power of God and the wisdom of God." And God the Father, as we heard in our text, God the Father possessed that wisdom at the first, before the beginning of his creative work. Did you notice, as Paula read earlier, he says before three times, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth, before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the particles of the world. And as we're about to say in the second part of the Athanasian Creed, Jesus Christ is God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, before all ages. Jesus himself says in our text today from John 8, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. I am." To the Jews who knew this, in Hebrew, is Yahweh. The name of God. I am. I am that I am, he says in Exodus 3. God himself. That's why they picked up these stones to kill Jesus. Because he was claiming to be God. And in fact, he was the Son of God. He's the only one who can claim that. And at the very beginning of the Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, another reference to the Son of God. And the Word was with God, the Father. And the Word was God. And it says, all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In the same way, in Colossians 1, the Apostle Paul says about Christ, all things were created through Him, and with Him, and for Him. Doesn't this sound just like our text in Proverbs today? When He marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside Him like a master workman. I don't know about you, but I tend to picture the Son of God always just as Jesus, who started, you could think of it maybe, He started His work after He was born at Christmas. But according to the Bible, the second person of the Trinity was working long before Jesus was born at Christmas. In verse 22 of our text, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of His work, the first of His acts of old, before He even started creating the world. Begotten before all ages, we say. Christ existed before the world began. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding in water. Now God, the congregation, as we're used to saying often in the Nicene Creed, we say we believe in Jesus Christ who is begotten of the Father before all worlds. God the Father and God the Son existed together before the world came into existence. Two separate persons, but one God with the Holy Spirit, united closely together before our world was made. Says it here in Proverbs. How many people picture Jesus as the Savior of the world, and that's it. But the Bible tells us that He was involved also in the creation of the world. Verse 27 today, when He established the heavens, I was there. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep, when He made firm the skies above, when He established the fountains of the deep, when He assigned to the sea its limit. Then I was beside Him like a master craftsman. Son of God is the master craftsman, the skilled worker crafting the world alongside God the Father. Two of them, with the Holy Spirit, one God, working closely together. Think of it. Christ, the water of life, creating the fountains of the deep and the springs of the heavens. Crafting our own Lake Erie and Lake Ontario and the oceans. Christ, the rock of salvation, crafting the hills and the mountains and the Onondaga Escarpment. Notice how God the Father and God the Son reacted when He was finished creating our world. And I was daily His delight, rejoicing before Him always, rejoicing in His inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man, children of mankind. In the Hebrew it says, sons of Adam, who were taken from the earth. Adam was taken from the earth. Delighting in mankind itself. Well, while the plumbers were over at our house this week, I was upstairs in the kitchen doing work on this sermon. And after they finished the job, I went down to see what they had done, look at our new hot water heater, which works great, by the way. And there it was, all brand new with these shiny copper fittings. You know how copper looks so pure when it's brand new and burnished? It was, a beautiful hot water heater. And And I was kind of admiring it, and the master plumber was there kind of admiring it too, you know, admiring his own handiwork of a job well done. Maybe you've experienced that joy. It's great to see it, you know, to see it. But he took good pleasure in it. And it was very well done. Well, that's how Proverbs pictures the Son of Man at the creation of the world. He looked at what he had crafted. Nature, in all its beauty and majesty. We get to experience part of that today. And especially mankind. You and me. The wonder of creation. His most complex creature of all. His most beautiful creation. If you look at Psalm 8, which happens to be in the back of your bulletin, we think about, what is man that you are mindful of him? Look at what he has created in you. A human being, not just particles of dust, but a living, breathing human being with a rational mind, for most of us, me sometimes, and a human heart that beats and feels things and is moved by things like music and love and charity and patience and kindness. That's what he created. That's what he created in you. No wonder he delighted in it. No wonder he rejoiced in it. He took great delight in that. He takes great delight in you. But Christ knew that soon Satan would come. And along with Adam and Eve, would bring sin into this world. And the consequences of sin, which you and I know just as well, all too well, I guess I should say. In 1989, on a routine flight from Chicago, an airplane's middle engine fell apart. Pieces of the blade flew through the air, cutting the plane's hydraulic lines. The plane made an emergency landing in Sioux City, Iowa. And on TV, they showed video footage of the plane somersaulting down the runway in a ball of fire. About half the passengers on board were killed. It took years to figure out what was the cause of the crash. Finally, they concluded that a titanium fan that was in the hub when it was manufactured had an almost microscopic little bubble in it that remained in the metal. And that tiny bubble went undetected for 20 years as the plane flew. But finally it led to a little crack. That became a bigger crack, which led to the entire plane going down. When God crafted the universe, it was perfect. There was nothing wrong with it, not even a microscopic bubble. But he saw that sin was coming. It seems like what was a tiny mistake by Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Not listening to God for one minute led to the entire world going down. And so after crafting our world, our Lord crafted our salvation. The last verse in our text today tells us why Christ was willing to die for us. It's because He delighted in you. He delighted in you, children of man. That's His unexplainable love, which the New Testament talks about as grace. Grace. Later in Proverbs, same chapter, wisdom, that is Christ, talks about eternal life. He says, whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from God. Craftsmen follow blueprints, I guess. Well, the blueprint of God's will that Jesus followed when He crafted our salvation was a very difficult one. He willingly elected to stop being the craftsman at the Father's right hand. He left the Father's side to go to the cross for you and me. There on that cross, Jesus was separated from His Heavenly Father, far, far away from the Father's presence. Jesus even said, my God, why have you forsaken me? How painful this must have been for the Son of God to be forsaken by His Father. He had been with the Father since eternity, the creation of the world. Together they had crafted this creation. Together they had crafted mankind. But as he hung from the cross, He made the ultimate sacrifice for you and me, for those in whom He delighted. The Son of God crafted our salvation the hard way, by taking on human flesh and allowing Himself to be torn away from the Father's side, dying as a sacrifice for all of mankind. It's been said that great things aren't made without great sacrifice. On June 6th, 1944, D-Day took place, when thousands of American and British and Canadian soldiers stormed the beaches of Normandy. They made something that day. You could say that each one of them crafted something. And what they crafted was freedom. Freedom for those who would live after them. Freedom for those who lived in Europe and who were oppressed. As Memorial Day approaches, we remember their sacrifice. Well, Christians, the Christian D-Day was on Good Friday. That was the day that Christ stormed the hill of Golgotha. Yes, He was a man, but He was also God from eternity. And there on that hill, He crafted our salvation by sacrificing His life. There has never been anything greater sacrificed, nor anything greater crafted than the salvation of mankind. Your salvation and mine by Jesus Christ our Lord. As Paula read earlier, and as Peter was testifying in our reading from Acts, the Father didn't leave it alone there. He raised the Son of God from the dead. Let me say it again. He raised the Son of God from the dead. Easter morning. And then on Ascension Day, Jesus ascended into the heavens, once again assuming His rightful place next to the Father. Today, the Father and the Son together share the Holy Spirit with you and me. And He's at work within us, crafting something within us that we call faith, trusting in what He has done for us. So today, on Trinity Sunday, we just simply sit back and look in awe at what our God has done for us. And all these things that sound so lofty or so profound, well, all you got to understand is what God has done for you through Jesus Christ. The master craftsman at the Father's side in creation, and the master craftsman of your salvation and your resurrection to eternal life. Today we thank Him and we honor Him and we worship Him. One God with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I invite you to stand.